There seems to be no end of makeover shows on television. Shows that remodel people's rooms in their homes. Shows that will come in and redo your whole landscaping. Shows that come in and redo people's makeup and hairstyle. Shows that change or remodel all kinds of things. I think what people like about these shows is they show the before and the after contrast. It starts off with some yard or some person or some room that looks rather neglected, rather unattractive. But with a little bit of motivation, a little bit of help, a little bit of energy, things turn out looking so dynamic and attractive. We want to be somehow remade, to be redecorated, to be remodeled. We want to look better than we did before. And one of the shows that Trisha and I love to watch in this genre was a British show entitled What Not to Wear. And the premise of this show was to find somebody who just could look a whole lot better if they only knew how to shop. And usually what happened was a friend or family member would turn them in for a clothing makeover. Now, the hosts of the show were two women. And what they would do is they would come to the rescue of one of these poor souls. And they would sit them down. And first of all, they'd go through their closets and they'd throw away all their stuff that just was a mess. But this is what they would do. They would point out to these individuals what it was about their clothing that just didn't make it work. Now, the purpose of the show was to retrain them and to teach them what they looked like in the old clothes and how they could look like if they put on a new set of clothes. So what they would do is they'd take these individuals, train them, teach them, give them all these instructions, and then give them some money and send them into the clothing store. Now, these two women didn't actually go into the clothing store with them. They would sit in the back. They'd have a little roving camera, and they'd make comments as their trainee was going to the store trying to determine what to buy. And they would make comments about, oh, we told them not to pick out red. Oh, they're going for the red. Oh, good, they diverted the red. And then that was, once in a while, they would burst in. If they would made a major mistake, they'd burst in and they'd run over to the clothing rack and say, oh, we told you, you can't wear that. Oh, but I love it so much. Well, it doesn't look good on you. And so they would train them in that respect. Here's the main purpose of the show, though. And the main premise of the show was to take these individuals and to retrain them and give them instructions on what they should not wear and what they ought to wear so they can look their very best. Now, at the end of the show, the people would then put on a little modeling show for all of their family and friends. They would come in and they would model all the new clothes they had picked out. And they looked good. And usually their family and friends would just shower them with accolades, telling them how good they looked. And the show ends usually with the people being interviewed and talking about their experience and talking about why they picked out the old clothes and what they learned and how they felt so much better about themselves based on their new set of clothes. Everyone knows that the inner man does not really change. But these people felt better about themselves because of this makeover. They had more confidence. And they perceived themselves differently, and they were perceived by others differently by how they looked on the outside. The clothes sometimes do make the man or the woman, or at least improve the man or the woman. The people on these shows learned what they were not to wear, and they also learned on what they should be wearing as an outward set of clothes. And our text of Scripture this morning, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 17, the same basic idea is being shared by the Apostle Paul for us. We will be given some instructions on what not to wear. Paul will be pointing out that our old clothes sometimes make us look rather unattractive, both to others and to the Lord. And he'll be pointing out that our old clothes are very much out of character with who we really are in Christ Jesus. Paul wants to give us some instructions on what not to wear and then what we are to wear. He wants to retrain our thinking process so that we know what kind of clothes to put on, that we look our very best, and that we look like the children of God that we really are, as adopted children in Christ Jesus. Now, one thing to keep in mind throughout our study this morning, Paul is not talking about changing the inner man. He already addressed that earlier in the book of Ephesians. He's talking about putting on a new set of clothes to dress the outer man so that the outer man looks more attractive and matches the purity and the righteousness that characterizes our inner man. You see, when we became a believer in Jesus Christ, we were recreated. We were made new men. Paul in Ephesians 4, 17 and 24 is now saying that we need a new set of clothes to make our outer man just as attractive and just as righteous as our new man. We need to be instructed on what not to wear and what to wear. Paul begins, verse 17. He starts off by telling us what we are not to wear. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. That's the old clothes. Those are the clothes we are to put off. Now again, remember, Paul has already told us that we are new creatures in Christ. We are no longer what we were before. Back in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 11, it says, "Therefore remember that formerly you were Gentiles." Remember that at that time, in the past, at that time, you were separated from Christ. But now, in Christ, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. In Ephesians 4 now, Paul is not suggesting that the believers are what they were before. Instead, he is encouraging us to no longer live or to walk. In fact, that's the word that's being used in this particular verse. We're not to walk. We're not to walk as the Gentiles used to walk. The walking here is like the clothing that we put on over that inner man. The inner man is what we are in Christ before God. The old former inner man was separated from God, dead in transgressions and sins. The new inner man, who we are now in Christ, is a child of God, adopted into the family of God through the redemption that is available in Christ Jesus. When Paul talks about how we are to walk, he is talking about the outer man, how we are to live our lives, how we are to behave, how we are to conduct ourselves. And as we will see, sometimes the outer man is not always in sync with the inner man. Inwardly, we have indeed been made new. We are righteous before God. But outwardly, we hold on to some of those old habits, those old patterns of sinfulness that formerly characterized our old selves. Paul is saying we should change our clothes. We are no longer to walk and to live as the Gentiles did. We are to put off the old clothes and to put on a new set of clothes. Now, beginning in verse 17, Paul gets very detailed about what the old set of clothes looks like. What is it that we're to put away and put off, leave behind us? Well, in verse 17, he talks about the futility of their thinking. The word futility means emptiness, meaninglessness. It's the thinking pattern of this world. Apart from Christ, ultimately, it's futile. The worldly man cannot find any true meaning in life. Meaning is only to be found in a worldview that includes God, a God who is the ultimate ground of all of life and all of reality. Man, apart from God, tries desperately to find meaning in life, but they cannot because they're looking for meaning in all of the wrong places. Things that are fleeting, things that are temporary. You know, much of modern philosophy, much of our modern culture is drowning in a sea of relativism, vanity, meaninglessness. Why? Because their thinking is not God's thinking. It's thinking apart from God. Number two, they have a darkness in their understanding. Verse 18. There is a darkness in the thinking and the understanding of the world because they leave out a major component of understanding life and reality. Ultimate reality includes the natural world, but it also includes the supernatural, the material as well as the spiritual. Now, a natural man, an old man, can indeed understand the material world, the natural world, but they cannot grasp the supernatural. They cannot grasp the spiritual things of God. And as a result, their understanding is darkened because they can only grasp part of reality. Thirdly, there is a separation from the life of God. Verse 18, the worldly man, the natural man, is characterized by a deadness, for they have no life in God. They live separated from God, and they are therefore spiritually dead. And just as a corpse cannot hear the conversation taking place in a mortuary, the person who is spiritually dead in their transgressions and sins cannot understand the things of God, no matter how loudly or clearly they are proclaimed in their presence. Number four, there is an ignorance due to the hardness of their heart. The ignorance talked about here means to possess really an inferior understanding. It's not merely the absence of the true life, but instead it is a quality of thinking and understanding that is fallen, that is distorted. Now the word ignorance used here is actually used three different times in the New Testament. The Apostle Peter uses this word in the book of Acts when he explains that it was the people acting out of their ignorance that put God's Son to death upon the cross, rather than understanding Him to be the true Messiah that God had brought into this world. Acts 3:17. Secondly, the Apostle Paul uses the same term when he was talking with the Greek philosophers there in the city of Athens on Mars Hill and explaining to them, and he said to them that in the past God had overlooked their ignorance, but that now God commands people everywhere to repent. Acts 17:30. And finally, we see the same concept and word being used in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. This is what Peter says. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. When you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. We are no longer to live in our former ignorance, an ignorance that stemmed from the hardness of our hearts. Now, the word hardness here carries the idea of being calloused. It describes the thickness of skin that you may develop with use, which deadens the skin, the hands, to sensitivity. Same word when used in the Bible to describe the eyes refers to a spiritual blindness. Formerly ignorance, ignorance now no longer. Number five, a sensuality, an impurity that is never satiated. Verse 19, when our hearts are calloused, when our minds are futile and empty, the result is a lustful indulgence, a sensuality that holds us in its grips. We become prisoners of our lostness and despair, living in our old man. Now, these five things, these five items, make up the clothing, the outer garments that the old man used to wear. They characterized our former lives as Gentiles before we were made new in Christ. The problem is, as we hinted at earlier, that we sometimes persist in wearing the old clothes even though we have been made new in Christ. Paul is telling us in these verses that follow that we must now put off that former way of life that you used to walk in, and to begin to walk in a new set of clothes, in a newness that will match who we really are in Christ Jesus. Let's look on now, beginning at verse 20. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Christ. Now, the main contrast here between the old and the new is in this area of truth. Truth. When it comes to Jesus, when we come to Jesus, we do come to truth. To know Jesus is to know the truth. We read in 1 John chapter 5, beginning at verse 18. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe. The evil one cannot harm him. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. That we are in him and that we are in him who is true. Even in the Son, or his Son, Jesus Christ, he is the true God and eternal life. And while the world is controlled by the evil one, and the thinking of the world is futile and dark and separated from God, ignorant and full of sensuality, life in Jesus is instead controlled by the truth, by light, and by correct understanding. Paul's main point here in Ephesians chapter 4 is that Jesus embodies and that he encompasses the truth. Find Jesus, you find the truth. Find truth, and you find Jesus. Truth cannot exist apart from him. Now, looking back now to that theme of putting off the old clothes and putting on the new, let's look on now, verse 22. This is how the NIV translates verse 22. It says, you were taught, as with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Now, truth be told, this is a very difficult passage to translate. From the original language, very difficult to translate. In fact, when I was doing my study in preparation, I looked at several English translations to find the one that I really thought captured what was going on there in verse 22. And truth is, I couldn't really find one that I believe captures what Paul is trying to share in these verses. First of all, we need to keep in mind what Paul is not saying. He is not saying that we are to put off the old man. That was already took place earlier when we, and we talked about this in Ephesians 2. When we became a believer, a follower in Christ Jesus, that is when the old man was taken away and we were given a newness of life. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. The old has gone, the new has come." We also see in Colossians chapter 3, 9 and 10. By the way, this passage in Colossians is, many see, is a parallel passage to Ephesians. I mentioned at the beginning that if you look at Ephesians and Colossians together, you discover that they're very much similar in content and in structure. Paul is writing the same letter just to different churches. So the parallel passage to our passage this morning, found in Colossians 3, says this: "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self." That's something in the past. Taken off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. The old self was replaced by the new self when we first came to know Jesus on that day of our conversion. It is a day in the past when we first came to trust in Jesus as our personal Savior. So, looking back at verse 22, how do we translate that? Well, let's translate it together this morning. The first two words in this particular verse, in the original, can be translated like this: "You are to put off." I mentioned last week that often in the original language, that which is put in the beginning of the sentence often is the most important thing. So Paul is saying, very, very important, put off, take away, remove the old clothing. Let's go on now to the next little phrase we see in verse 22. Literally, it can be translated this way: in reference to, or in respect to, the former conduct. That is your behavior, your way of life. Then we have the last phrase, the old man. So let's put that all together now and see if we can translate that phrase and try to discern what God is saying through the Apostle Paul. So here we go. And I think it's this middle phrase that's the key. So, you are to put off, with reference to the former conduct, the old man. So Paul is not saying to put off the old man. Instead, what he's saying is you have to put off the old way of life, the old behavior patterns, the old clothes that the old man used to wear. That's what's to be put off. We are new men in Christ. We have no business wearing the old set of clothes. We need a new set of clothes to match that new man that we already are in Christ. Remember how Paul started Ephesians chapter 4. And there in verse 1 he says, "I therefore entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." We have been called. We have a new life. Now we need to start walking, behaving, and conducting ourselves in line with that new life that we have in Christ. When we trusted Jesus as our Savior, we were declared righteous before God. And only then did we begin that transformation process whereby we begin to walk and our lifestyle is changed and we begin to grow and change so that we become outwardly what we already are inwardly. The theological terms for this, we've talked about these before, is justification. That is that point of being declared righteous before God in the power of what Jesus has done for us. And then sanctification, that growing process whereby our conduct matches up with the reality that is our righteousness before God. So how does this process take place? Well, Paul tells us there, beginning in verse 23. By being made new, here it is, in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. It starts with renewing our attitudes, renewing our mind, renewing our thinking. Paul shares the same idea in the book of Romans, beginning in verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 1. A familiar passage. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. How do you do that? Well, let's go on. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. There's your old clothes. Don't put on those old clothes anymore. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Put on the new set of clothes. Renewing your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. The basic issue is our lifestyle. The clothes we're wearing. Notice here it centers on the mind, the thinking process. As we begin to think differently, we'll begin to act differently. Recall the description we saw of the old set of clothes back in verses 17 through 19. Look at that list. Many of the things on that list all revolve around our thinking process. The futility of our thinking, the darkness of our understanding, ignorance, the hardness of your heart, and the heart here refers to that inner core, that inner decision-making place, that the heart. All these things relate to our thinking process, the renewing of our minds. Also, recall the description of the new clothes that we saw in the verses that follow, 20 and 21. Notice that the terms here talking about the new clothes also revolve around and center on our thinking process. The first one was knowing Christ, hearing Christ. And by the way, I want to point something out to you here. The translation, your literal translations, is hearing Christ. Often in the English translations, we get the idea of hearing of Christ. That's not really the proper translations. We are, first of all, knowing Christ, and secondly, we are hearing Christ. Not hearing of Him, hearing Christ. And then finally, being taught Christ. Thinking process, hearing process, being taught. Our thinking process must be transformed. It must be renewed. Remember the show, What Not to Wear? One of the key ideas of that show was these two women coming and retraining and reteaching and giving instructions to their victim, for lack of a better word, and then sending them into the store so they can put their training into practice. When I first met Tricia, I needed some instructions myself. I did. When we first met, I had a sock drawer, and I had two sets of socks. I had the white socks, and those were used for weekends. And I had my navy blue socks, and those were used for work. And I didn't know any better. No one taught me about this stuff. And so I would wear my white socks on the weekends and my blue socks to work. I don't care what kind of pants I had on, khaki or black or whatever. I just wore blue socks. I thought that was okay. And I remember when I first met her, we were all part of an administrative team. She wasn't yet the principal. She was the vice principal. I was the activities person. And we would sit around and have our staff meetings, and I would fold my leg, and I'd have my blue socks hanging out there. And she would cringe. She's like, oh, that poor guy. That poor guy. I didn't know. Nobody had actually instructed me properly. So when we started our relationship and she felt more comfortable, she started correcting me and giving me all kinds of instructions on the fact that my socks were to match my shoes and pants. So this morning, I'm going today. Actually, I don't even have blue socks these days. I don't have any blue pants. But back then, I didn't know that. So she gave me all kinds of training on that. And she has continued to do that through the years. Right now, it's ties and shirts. I came out one day and I had kind of a shiny, silky tie and a kind of a matted shirt. She goes, "That doesn't work." I said, "What do you mean? They're both the same color." But this isn't, I had to go back and change my tie. I've learned I had come out with like two or three ties. Okay, which tie goes with this shirt? Okay, good. I don't like being instructed, but she continues to instruct me. And as she says, I look so much better. And every time we see an old picture of me, she says, "You look like now. Look at you." It's the thinking process, though. It's retraining. It's rethinking. It's thinking about the glisten on your tie matching the shirt. It's thinking about your pant leg matching your sock. It's retraining and rethinking. It starts with our thinking. If all of the Gentile degradation that we saw in those earlier verses was due to the futility of their thinking, then the Christian righteousness that we are now expected to manifest also depends upon the constant renewing of our minds, rethinking, learning about what the old clothes look like and learning about what the new set of clothes ought to look like to match our true inner self. Sin wasn't the cause of the Gentiles' problem. It was actually the result. The problem lied in their thinking process, in their minds, and in their choices made against God. Renew your minds, and the result will lead to a true righteousness and a true holiness that God expects of us, His children. How do you renew your mind? Well, first of all, you begin with God's Word, studying God's Word, knowing God's Word, spending time in God's Word. Secondly, it involves a seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was sent to us by God so that we would have instruction and help and guidance. Studying your Bibles, seeking the wisdom and the direction from the Holy Spirit, and praying that God would use both His Word and His Spirit to continue to renew our minds so that we will know the clothes that we need to take off, the clothes we need to throw away because they just don't look good on us, because they just don't match the character of who we are in Christ. And we also need to begin to use our minds so that we can go into that clothing store and pick out what looks good, pick out what conforms to who we truly are in Christ Jesus. Take off those old set of clothes. Put on a new set of clothes. Father, we thank You that You have indeed changed us on the inside. You have made us new creatures. Father, we now would pray that we would become wise enough to know how to take off the old set of clothes that we used to wear, that no longer match, no longer fit with who we now are in Christ, and put on a new set of clothes, to put on the holiness and the righteousness that characterizes who we truly are in Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.